welcome to the Harrogate Health Show. So today I am joined by Claire Zillison from Your Life Physio. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
So your private practice is a physiotherapy practice. Can you tell us a bit more about it and how you came to open your own place?
Yeah, so I have been working as a physio for just over 12 years, and mainly in the NHS, but some of that privately, or seeing private patients within the NHS. And then I really got specialised in orthopaedic rehabilitation, which orthopaedic is just anything joint, bone, muscle, which sounds really general. When you think of physio, it sounds basically like it's the whole body, which I suppose it is, but it's more specifically things like joint replacements or ligament reconstructions or arthritis or arthritic conditions.
Okay.
So that was kind of where I ended up specialising more into. Also things like trauma, so fractures or post like road traffic accidents with multiple sites that have maybe a fracture here or a head injury. And so I was working in the NHS and loved it, and then I had two children and I needed something that was a bit more flexible, and yes. I wanted as well to set up something that I could use all the rehab skills that I'd acquired and then to take it into people's homes. So the main reason that, so my clinic is, it's a private practice, but I don't have a clinic space. So all of the assessment and all of the treatment is done in people's houses and or in their own home, or it could be a friend's home, or it could be at their place of work if that's easier, but basically I come to you. So
fabulous.
I've got a portable plinth and I've got a small amount of equipment, and I can also then get in equipment if needs be.
Brilliant.
And so it's just really trying to fill a gap that at the moment, or when I was working in the hospital, trying to refer people back to into the community for follow-up is really hard. There is a lack of a service because there's not enough funding, and some people just do better to be seen at home. So they might not either have transport to get them back into a clinic appointment, or they might not be as mobile as they could be to then be able to get back into a physio clinic appointment or outpatient setting. And so I felt that actually there are a lot of people who, after they've maybe been in hospital or they've had an injury or they've been unwell for a period of time and they've maybe come off their feet or they've had a fall, they're not as confident, they don't want to be going into hospital to have an outpatient appointment, and it's best to be seen at home. So that's where I decided to set it up from.
And I suppose because we're so rural.
Yeah.
Actually, if you lived sort of in between, say, Harrogate and York, or over towards Wetherby, you know, there are some places where actually a town is quite a long way away from their home.
Yeah, and especially then, so some people might get hospital transport, but a lot of hospital transport in a rural area kind of has to go a bit like a rural bus service. It has to go kind of around lots of villages, and you might be on the transport for, you know, 2 hours even before you get to your appointment.
Gosh.
And 2 hours back. And if you're just recovering from an injury or an illness, or you have had, you know, quite a significant accident and you just are maybe just getting back on your feet, that takes a lot of energy to go and do that. And
huge amount.
And it's not that, I mean, outpatient clinics are brilliant, they have lots of facilities and they may be great for that next level of rehab, but that stage initially where you're just trying to get back
moving
on your feet
again.
And get moving again, or if longer term your goals aren't about, you know, kind of going for a jog, they're maybe more about kind of getting the garden, or I'd like to be able to go back up the stairs, because some people when they go home from hospital are discharged just to downstairs living because actually they can't maybe manage the stairs when they first go home. So it's that initial stage of rehab where you need to just look at the whole picture. So what does somebody want to do functionally in their house? What's important to them? What family setup do they have? You know, there's no point in giving someone loads of exercises to do, but then they maybe would struggle to follow a piece of paper instructions, and they maybe need somebody to be there with them to do it. So you can get a better feeling for what someone is going to do, and by then tailoring it to them, they usually respond better. They're more likely to do the exercises. They're more likely to feel confident at doing what you're asking them to do.
And then you get those better outcomes that you're looking for.
Yeah.
I suppose it, thinking silly things like my grandma, so she has a little, like, you go up some stairs and then there's almost like a little landing-y bit where you could pause. And I suppose things like looking at how someone's staircase is, if they are wanting to get upstairs and kind of really tailoring it to the depths of their stairs and things like
it just,
that.
Everything is just so specific to that patient, and everything, well, you know as well, everybody's practice should be tailored to the person.
Completely.
But in physio or in a physical kind of profession, it really helps that you see the environment more. So if someone comes into a clinic setting and says, oh, I can't get into my garden because of the driveway and it's a bit of a slope and there's some gravel, and it's hard sometimes to picture it.
Yes.
When you see it, you can then see it, or you might be able to suggest, oh, if we just put a rail in here and then you link with someone else, you can put a rail. Do you know, it just makes it a lot easier to do.
Definitely.
And so hopefully it's just to fill in that gap. And then, you know, some, I do have some patients that are further on, but they don't want to go to link appointments, so I go and see them at home, and that's fine.
Perfect.
So there's no kind of end point, but the main function is around that, those initial stages, post-hospital discharge, post-joint replacement, or after like a chronic condition, or somebody, so I've obviously had a long time working in acute hospitals, so
yeah.
Done lots and lots of rotations in different areas. So kind of being able to think about chronic conditions that might interplay with someone's recovery. So kind of just chronic health conditions, like if they have osteoporosis, or if they have diabetes, if they have like blood pressure problems. So kind of keeping a bit of my NHS hat on.
Yeah.
In terms of thinking about how that might impact on someone's function as well. So it's, yeah, that's where it came from, was just to set up something in people's homes to give a high quality of rehab. I used to work in a hospital in London that was like a specialist orthopaedic centre. And we were so lucky because there was no A&E. So everyone was there for as long as they needed to be there for, because there was no pressure on the beds as such. You could kind of keep hold of people until they were a bit better.
Yes.
And so we got a real taste for seeing rehab all the way through. And the impact that then has on people is massive, because it's different being safe to go home than being functioning at the level that you maybe were to, or would be able to get at home, yeah, and to manage better.
And with things like joint replacements, will most of us need a joint replacement at some point in our lives? Is that something that if we kind of live long enough that we might expect?
Yeah, I think there is a lot more evidence now and a lot more research into, can you use conservative management to manage arthritic joint conditions? And there is definitely cases where, yeah, a joint replacement is the best treatment, and an orthopaedic surgeon will be able to tell you whether or not they think, actually go down conservative management for a bit longer, or yes, I think you'd be ready for a joint replacement. And then there has been some more studies, or it was a Canadian study a few years back that looked into, I think, an arthroscopy, which is basically where they put a little camera into, say, your knee or your shoulder or a joint, and then they might flush out any bits that are in there, or fluid,
okay.
And they'll have a look and see what any damage has been done. And sometimes they were using those arthroscopies to kind of as a treatment as well. But this Canadian study suggests that actually, compared to just doing exercises, so compared to doing some strengthening exercises or just having arthroscopy, actually there was no comparable benefit to having the arthroscopy versus just having the exercise. Now, that was one study, and it was just on arthroscopy. It's not saying that, you know, if someone says you should have a knee replacement, that you shouldn't be, and you should just go and do some exercises.
Absolutely.
But having said that, there is so much evidence now about the importance of maintaining muscle strength on the impact of arthritic joints. Because if you have a stronger muscle around an arthritic joint, you're going to load that joint better and you're going to take less strain on the joint. So, and also then all of the things that you might then experience, say if you're of an age where you have arthritis, you might then experience other things where your balance isn't as great, or you haven't got as much stamina. And so by trying to keep strong and keeping fit and active, you're going to be healthier overall in general. So you take less strain on your joints, your balance might be better. And there's also some studies, so people who might be osteoporotic, so weaker bones, and just by doing some resistance exercises, you can strengthen your bones a little bit. So the pull of those muscles on your bones helps to stimulate the cells that regenerate bone.
Wow.
And so that can help as well. So there is, basically, what I always say is age is but a number. You can get some form of strength or some improvement in balance or some change in how your joints are moving, usually with the right form of input at any age or with other co-conditions. There's always something you could have a look at and then see if there's something you can change.
And are there particular forms of exercise that you would recommend to people? That's probably a little general, but in terms of, because some people, we go through our lives and think, you know, we'll get to a point where we might not run anymore. Are there kind of particular strength building activities like walking or Pilates or things like that, that
specific things. I mean, to be honest, and this is where again I think that sometimes exercise can seem this real exclusive thing.
Yeah.
And you've got to have the right equipment,
mm-hmm.
and you've got to have the right kit, you've got to have the right trainers, and you've got to have the right setup. And yes, obviously for some people that's really important. So but a lot of it is about your personal preferences. So there's always going to be somebody who feels like they're more motivated if they have a gym membership,
mm-hmm.
and they know they have to pay for that gym membership, and so they will go to the gym and they'll do some exercises.
Yeah.
And that will motivate them to go. There might be somebody who likes to go to a Zumba class with their friends because they're going with a friend.
Social.
They enjoy getting out of the house and having a chat afterwards. Or there might be somebody who prefers to do a exercise class in front of an iPad or their, you know, DVD at home, yes. because actually that fits in better around their lifestyle. So there probably isn't a specific type of activity that I would recommend more than others. The main thing I would say is that if you've tried one thing and you thought either it made you really achy or you thought, oh, I didn't enjoy that, exercise isn't for me, it's probably not that. It's just you need to think about trying something different.
Something else.
Yeah. So that might be swimming, or it might be going just for a walk with a friend, or, you know, doing a DVD or an exercise thing at home where there's not that pressure of other people. Or it might be getting a personal trainer and going to the gym.
Yeah.
So that kind of doesn't answer a specific thing, but there isn't one prescription.
Well,
yeah, exactly. And so Pilates and stuff like that is brilliant because you're using your core and you're getting a bit more active through there. And I think Pilates has a great background. But then you see people in their 90s, don't you, running marathons. You're like,
yes.
There's always some newspaper article or somewhere where someone's run a marathon at 90 for the first time. So I don't think as well necessarily we should be telling people that you can't do this activity anymore. And that's more and more where the research in physiotherapy is heading, is more adapting potentially how someone is doing something, but not blanket saying. I mean, there might be some settings where you have to, but blanket saying you shouldn't be running after the age of X is not going to suit everybody.
But I like that because I see quite a lot of people who've stopped doing something because of.
Yeah.
And actually, they've always run, and yes, it's good for their physical body, but it's good for their kind of well-being as well. And because they've stopped for whatever reason, their stress levels have gone up through the roof.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's as soon, and you must see it all the time as well, as soon as you take away, so say if someone, I suppose, can't hear everyone, they stop then going out to dinners or restaurants and stuff.
That isolation.
Once you take, and then it's easy for a few things to then drop back. If somebody maybe doesn't feel as confident walking outside, then they stop going to collect the paper from the shop, so they stop bumping into that neighbour that they used to always have a chat to, and quite quickly the amount of people that you maybe see in a day reduces, and people need that social interaction or
definitely
wanted to do.
When you talk about that, there's someone quite specific who comes into my mind who had a fall a few years ago and is now quite I'd say quite isolated, a lovely communicator, really enjoys social environments, but I think that stability side and the confidence with that has just deteriorated. For people who might think of a loved one or someone in that sort of position, can you almost bring them back from that? Can you get someone who has lost that confidence and kind of almost bring them back into the world, if you like?
Yeah, so I think I was really fortunate in the job I had in London. We had so much time with people, and we did inpatient rehab stays where you saw the same person for a period of time.
Amazing.
I worked at the London Spinal Cord Injury Centre, so that was treating people with a spinal cord injury.
Gosh.
So someone who was fully able-bodied and then had an accident or an injury and ended up with a paralysis. And so that's obviously such a big change in lifestyle.
Huge.
And so a lot of our role as physiotherapists was, or kind of, they brought on those skills that maybe not, you don't come across all the time in physio, where it's more maybe motivating someone to just get out of the bed and do these exercises. It was more about taking into account all those type of things. And so, yeah, I do think that with a good therapeutic relationship.
Yes.
And listening and hearing what people are saying about what's important to them and what they want to get back to doing, and then having that as a dialogue where they, you can say to them, they say to you, I would like to be able to do this, And then you can openly and honestly discuss where you think that's going to be realistic, or whether you think actually, is there a way around it that you could get that same experience, but maybe, you know, using a wheelchair or using a walking aid that you weren't really keen to use before. And those can be quite difficult conversations to have, can't they? You know, if you're suggesting to somebody, this is what you're thinking of wanting to do, you're at this position at the minute, to get to there, we might need to do a few steps in between, and we can't necessarily promise that you're going to be exactly how you were before, but this has happened to you and we need to take that into account. So I think with my practice, I'm very much about honest communication.
Definitely.
I don't want to waste somebody's resources or energy. And I also think having that background in the NHS actually makes you more honest, because you're kind of trained to be, I'm not trained to think, oh, I better see this person a few more times. I'm trained to say, actually, this is where, given my experience, I think you probably are able to do this. So let's try and get you here.
Definitely.
And it's trying to be open about that, I think.
No, that makes sense. It does. And again, this is probably a difficult question, because I'm sat thinking, well, what would I say if someone asked me? But is there a typical amount of time that people would work with you? Or is it something sometimes that, you know, people will work with you for a long time, but with less touch points?
Yeah, absolutely.
And is that how
it's completely variable. So I have somebody at the moment that I'm seeing 2 times a week.
Okay.
So they had a hip fracture just around Christmas time last year. They were then discharged home end of January. And then they just needed some time and more input to get back on their feet. And actually it's working. 2 times a week is giving them the motivation and they're improving really well. I then have somebody else who had a stroke several years ago, but then just felt like, actually, I think I've got more. I want to do a bit more than I am doing. I want to see if I can do a bit more. And so I see her maybe once a month.
Okay.
And we give her lots of things to do in the meantime. And then I review again. So it's completely varies. I think if it's after an acute injury, I would still expect to see a decent or a significant change within 6 weeks. It tends to be
kind of
a marker. If it was something more of an acute injury or something that you'd had maybe a knee replacement and you just had some post-op pain and swelling and a bit of weakness, you should see muscle change kind of strengthening wise or changes in your balance or your function within that period of time, or 6 sessions sometimes. And so I tend to always then review at that point.
Yes.
And it's always about just then constantly reviewing. So we set really clear goals at the beginning. So what is it you want to achieve?
I love that.
And how difficult are you finding that particular activity? And I use a scale of kind of 1 to 10 at the moment, because it's always too easy to then a few sessions in, someone says, I think I'm feeling better, but I'm not sure. And so then I can look back and be like, well, and it's a subjective measure. It's not something I can say. There are some objective things you can like measure joint range, or you can measure strength, you can time someone's balance or time how far they can walk over a period of time. But then there are subjective things that are actually, that's what you're going to judge as a patient or as a client more.
Completely.
How easy do I find it to get up the stairs? Oh, I was finding it, you know, say if you had 10, the most difficult, and 0, not difficult at all. I was finding about an 8. Oh, now I'm finding it about a 4. So it gives us a bit of a marker. And then if someone's saying, well, I'm finding it a 10, then I'm thinking, well, this isn't improving. We need to change what we're doing, or we need to look at how we're going about this.
Definitely.
So it's trying to just find some way of measuring it as you go along, so that then both the client and myself know that we're going in the right direction.
And that it's positive and progressive.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not just kind of drifting along and someone halfway along says, oh yeah, I think I'm a lot better. But
yeah. No, there's no point in it.
Yeah.
No point at all. And if you were to give people like 3 top tips on how to keep moving and stay healthy and things like that, what would your three?
It's a good question.
No.
So I think that my one thing would be, think of it a bit like brushing your teeth. If you can bring an activity into something you do every day, you're more likely to do it.
Okay.
So whether that's you're doing some knee exercises that you've been given after you've had some, an injury or knee surgery, and you're doing them every time you make a cup of tea. Or if you're practicing your balance and you're doing it every time you brush your teeth. Or if you're doing it kind of, you know, when you come in from taking the kids to school, you're doing it then. You kind of almost need to pinpoint them in the day, because otherwise life is busy.
Yes.
And it gets taken away from you. It's hard to do. So I'd say that. So tag it to something that you're going to do every day.
Okay.
Make it into a bit of a habit. Number 2 is probably going back to what we said before, in that if something doesn't fit, try something different. So don't just So I can't exercise anymore because of X, Y, Z, or I didn't like this activity, so I don't like exercise.
Okay.
So yep, try something else. Or get someone to go with you. Or get someone who's going to motivate you to do it.
Mix it up a little.
Tell somebody that you want to exercise and then you feel like you might have to do it.
Got that accountability.
Yeah.
I like it.
Exactly. And then third, I think it would be don't be put off by other maybe conditions or things that you've been told before. I think for physiotherapy in general, something that keeps getting said over and kind of like physio circle type things is physiotherapy is a profession, not an intervention. So if you have had physiotherapy before and maybe you didn't feel like it helped particularly, then everything's a clinical relationship, isn't it? So,
yes.
You know, you could then try, you know, get a recommendation from a friend or find somebody else. If you think you just need a bit of help to work out what's safe for you to do,
yeah,
or what's going to give you the most benefit, then get a recommendation for a physio or a personal trainer or somebody who might be able to help you to find an activity that might just keep you better function and reduce your pain or to get you to what you want to achieve, really.
I like that, I do. And tell me the kind of geographical area that you cover for if people are listening and thinking,
So it's quite a large geographical area at the moment.
Brilliant. That's what we want to hear.
Yeah, I went big, but so it is the rural area basically between York, kind of the west side of York,
okay,
and the east side of Harrogate, I suppose. It's then capped underneath by Wetherby and on the top by Thirsk. So
okay,
it's quite a large radius. And basically, I'm based in Greenhamerton and I've done it as a half an hour kind of
every
drive
direction.
Every direction from there.
So sort of North Yorkshire?
Yeah, it covers North Yorkshire. It is a pretty big, yeah. And I will, you know, I do travel outside the area, but it just means that sometimes I then have to charge mileage on top of things.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
But, yeah, and it just covers a large rural area, basically.
So if people wanted to get in touch with you, your website, your email?
So my website is www.yourlifephysiotherapy.co.uk. So Your Life Physiotherapy is all one word.
Perfect.
And then if you wanted to email, then you could email me at yourlifephysiotherapy@gmail.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
That's been fascinating. I feel like I've learned lots about movement. But it's really positive to hear that people might be living with conditions or in a way that they think is all they can do. And it's nice to think that there are people out there supporting them in their own home,
yeah,
to do a little bit more and live a little bit or a lot better.
That's the plan, is to make it fit for their life and to improve in the things that they want to achieve.
Well, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you very much for having me.
The Harrogate Health Show is proudly sponsored by The Hearing Suite.